Punk news podcast tonight.
We're going to have a punk news podcast tonight.
All right.
It's the week of May 8th tonight.
We've got
nothing better to do than bullshit and talk about the news. All our friends are going to hang out here tonight.
All right.
We'll pass that on the internet. All right.
Tonight.
We've got nothing better to do than bullshit and talk about the news.
Punk news podcast tonight.
John Gentile, and I am joined with Greg Simpson. Greg, how you doing?
Pretty good. I don't know if you want to do that again. I think I talked over your shit.
Nah, it's cool. You know, usually we do like really complex intros and stuff, but today we're just chilling like a couple of bros. You know, we got some Jimmy Buffett on the radio, maybe a little bit of John Mayer, a little bit of Bob Marley, you know, some Pabst Blue Ribbon or some Natty Ice. Just chilling out. And actually, Armando is with us too, the news editor Armando Olivas, and he's actually coming from a very special location, live on location. Armando, where are you coming from?
I'm coming from a Starbucks in the city of Fullerton.
Now tell me, Armando, is recording from a Starbucks, the Punk News Podcast, is that extremely punk because you're jacking free Wi-Fi, or is it unpunks because you're in a corporate coffee shop?
It's pretty punks because I'm jacking the free Wi-Fi.
All right.
Good answer.
And also with us tonight on this chill, broed out podcast, just hanging back, is, as always, sound engineer, Sound Guy Nairman. Sound Guy Nairman, let us know you're on the airwaves with Armando while Armando's jacking those free free internet connections.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
All right. And so on this week's Punk News Podcast, we have got a lot to talk about. We're going to be talking about contract killings. We're going to be talking about dudes falling in love with Asian culture. We're going to be talking about new jams from org core favorites. We're going to be talking about ska. We're going to talk about metal legends, unfortunately passing away. We're going to be talking about Against Me, because we're always talking about Against Me. We're going to be talking about Black Flag, because I'm always talking about Black Flag. And, of course, as always, we're going to be talking about the fest, because there's some new fest announcements. But before we do that, I'm going to play a song. Not too long ago, the Stooges had a tribute for Ron Ashton, who was in the Stooges, who unfortunately passed away a little... he passed away in 2009, I think. The tribute was in 2011. The Stooges had a tribute concert for him, and in the tribute concert, it was pretty wild. They had Dennis Tech of Radio Birdman on Ron Ashton's spot, and they also had Henry Rollins introduce it into a song again, and they also had a full backing orchestra. So, fellas, do you guys want to hear Henry Rollins with the Stooges? Do you guys want to hear the Stooges with Dennis Tech? Or do you guys want to hear the Stooges with a full orchestra? Or do you want to hear Iggy Pop? And do you want to hear... Well, actually, we don't have any other songs this week, do we?
Not that I know of.
Well, hey, you guys want to do an All Stooges podcast in tribute to Ron Ashton?
Yes.
We could.
All right. So should we open with Henry Rollins and the Stooges? Should we open with just the Stooges with Dennis Tech? Should we open with the Stooges and a full orchestra? Or should we open with Iggy and James Williamson of Iggy and the Stooges doing an acoustic tribute to Ron Ashton?
Let's start with Henry. Okay, right. I was going to save that till last, but yes, let's do that.
Well, we'll do that first, and we'll do the tribute very last. We'll decide what we'll do next after that. However, so this is off the brand new DVD, Tribute to Ron Ashton, which I've seen is fantastic. It's on MVD Visual, and this is Henry Rollins and the Stooges doing I Gotta Write.
You might enjoy the other national anthem, a song called I Gotta Write.
On the Punk News Podcast. So let's get this fierce roundtable started. And we're going to start off with one of the craziest stories I've ever seen in punk rock. Last week we talked about some guys in some bands that were arrested for selling fake watches and another guy that was arrested for selling a fake laptop over PayPal. But fellas, this outdoes them all, I gotta say. The lead singer of As I Lay Dying has been arrested for trying to hire an undercover police officer to murder his wife. The guy of As I Lay Dying, his name is Tim Labelsis, and he tried to hire the police as a hitman to kill his estranged wife. So here's my question. Are you guys completely shocked by this? And also, has Christian metal, because As I Lay Dying is a Christian metal band, has Christian metal officially out-extremed Norwegian satanic death black metal?
Well, he didn't successfully pull this off, so I wouldn't say he's outdone these guys in, you know, Scandinavia killing each other. No. But it did surprise me.
Yes, very surprising. But the about the actual deed getting accomplished, I would say that, no, it doesn't one-up them. But I am very surprised, and I don't know what to think. Now I'm scared as what Five Iron Frenzy might do.
I mean, how do these guys get involved in these wacky situations? I really don't understand it. Because check this out, is by comparison, Gaslight Anthem has 250,000 likes on Facebook, right? And Gaslight Anthem is pretty famous, right? As I Lay Dying has almost 2 million likes on Facebook, which means, roughly speaking, As I Lay Dying is 8 times as popular as Gaslight Anthem, which means they're pretty damn big. So how do these guys get involved in these wacky situations? I mean, I just don't – I mean, is there really anything we can say about this, or is this just
I don't think it helps that they probably have a lot of time on their hands to get into trouble. I mean, in this case, I guess it's a little more than just getting into trouble, but I don't know, sitting around between tours or whatever and just being stupid, I guess. I don't know how much that has to do with this, but I don't know. What do you think, Armando?
My question is why would somebody who is obviously in the public spotlight, where as you know, John just pointed out, at least 2 million people consider him a household name, how would he think he could get away with something like that, you know?
Maybe he wasn't thinking. I mean, I don't know. Do you think this will be the final blow that will topple Christian heavy metal?
I think the final blow will be something a lot bigger, possibly something on the day of the rapture.
Oh, man. Have there been other blows to Christian metal that I've forgotten about or missed?
There's lots of blowing in Christian metal, that's for sure.
I didn't think it was possible for something to simultaneously suck and blow.
Well, I know that there was that one band, Texas in July, they're like a Christian metal band, and they were on the Take Action tour, and I guess that year the Take Action tour's proceeds were to benefit Planned Parenthood, and I guess all their fans got mad. So I guess as far as that scene goes, it was a huge blow, but other than that, I couldn't tell you.
You know, what's interesting is this guy, Tim Labesis, he's actually in a band called Austrian Death Machine, which is like a side project, who I've seen before, and it's like an all Arnold Schwarzenegger-themed heavy metal band, and they're actually kind of funny. Like, they've got a song that goes, "Get to the chopper!"
Which I've heard of them. They're actually pretty cool.
Yeah, well, you won't be hearing from them for a while, Armando, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, das ist gut.
You know, so anyway, I mean, honestly, I'm going to try to follow this throughout the Punk News podcast weeks, because I'm really interested to see what happens with this. Just a wacky scenario. But, on the other hand, I mean, people try to kill other people all the time. So the mere fact that he's in a band might just be coincidental. And so, I mean, obviously, out of all the people in bands, some of them are going to be involved in, like, murder plots once in a while, you know?
Right. I think it was funny that I was enjoying reading the comments on this story, people trying to argue with you about us just saying that he's arrested somehow implies that he's guilty or that it's slander or libel or whatever.
That actually kind of made me mad. Not mad, but annoyed. And I really should stop reading the comment section because I'm getting annoyed more and more. But the point is that people were like, aren't you saying that he's guilty by saying that he was arrested for a murder for hire plot? And the answer is no, we're not. He literally was arrested in connection with a murder for hire. So
right. I mean, right, that happened. He was arrested.
We're not saying he's guilty of it, but we're saying that's why he was arrested. And that's like how all newspapers do it. So not to be too much of a heavy, but I was annoyed by that. But going from wacky to wackier news, is Rivers Cuomo, that's how you say his name, Rivers Cuomo, right?
I thought it was Cuomo.
Rivers Cuomo?
I don't know.
He has teamed up with the singer of Alistair, Scott Murphy, and out of the blue, they just dropped an entirely Japanese album. Well, almost an entirely Japanese album. I don't think they announced it at all. And apparently this guy, Scott Murphy of Alistair, is like really popular. He's big in Japan. He sold 250,000 albums in Japan on just his last release, which is crazy. So did you guys check out this album? Are you going to check it out? Is this a gimmick or is this like something serious?
Mondo?
To be honest, I'm kind of over Rivers. I mean, I've had went too many disappointing encounters with Weezer, so I'm just gonna pass.
You mean in person or on albums?
Both.
Can you give us some of the dirt, or you don't want to say any of the dirt?
I can't say any of the dirt, but I will say that it involved a European wedding, a dancing bear, and vodka.
How can any of that go wrong at all? I see no way that could go wrong.
When the bear gets a hold of the vodka.
How about you? Greg, you're a pretty big Weezer fan, right?
Yeah, but I really stopped following after, I guess the Red album was the one where I finally gave up. But I do love Weezer. They do hold a special place in my heart. I listened to that one song and I kind of enjoyed it. It was stuck in my head after, even though I couldn't more than hum along because of it being mostly in Japanese. I mean, it's, you know, it's catchy stuff. Alistair, I wasn't a huge fan, but they wrote some catchy tunes. Weezer, you know, Rivers writes good melodies. I mean, it's great, you know, kind of pop rock. Whatever, nerdy pop rock, and I think people that are still into Weezer will like it. I won't buy it, but I did kind of enjoy that song. Pretty fun.
Yeah, honestly, I think Rivers kind of used up his wackiness quotient. I love wackiness in music, but you have to have some substance under it. And it kind of just seems like he's gone from gimmick to gimmick to gimmick, you know? Now, maybe this Japanese album isn't really a gimmick. Maybe he's, like, really into Japanese culture, or at least the language, and he wants to write an album in the language, which is cool. But he's done so many other gimmicky things, it it's hard not to read this as anything but a whim. And I'm all for whims, but you kind of have to have some substance under the whim to make it interesting. And this just seems like, what if we did something in Japanese? And they banged out like 12 songs without any real lasting composition to them.
Right. And these are, they are original songs, right? I'm just looking at this again. Right, they're not covers of like J-pop or whatever. I don't think so.
I think they're new songs. I listened to the first single, "Homely Girl."
Yeah,
it just sounded kind of cheesy to me. It's like we're going to sing a song about how I love a not conventionally good-looking girl, which is really great material for a song because I would refer to one of my favorite songs. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. Take my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you, which I think is a great song. But that has like sort of like a twist to it, you know, where this is just, I've got an ugly girlfriend and I love her, da-da-da-da.
I don't know, maybe they're kind of playing it in the style of like the whole, I mean, a lot of that, you know, Japanese pop culture stuff is very kind of cutesy and I don't know. I don't really know how to describe it. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, but I'm kind of past the point in my life where I want to hear cutesy stuff. You know, I like love songs, and I like, not everything has to be like mean or serious, but cutesiness for the sake of cutesiness just wears me out anymore. I sound jaded, and I hate to sound jaded.
Yes, in your prime old age of a million.
Yeah, I'm about a million and a half by now. So anyway, moving along for some more, I guess, enjoyable news, the mixtapes, who a lot of people are on the edge of their seat for, have just released a new song. The song is called Bad Parts. And actually, Alternative Press was streaming it, but it seems like the punk news kid kind of liked it. Martin Z09 says this band can do no wrong. Real Big Mike said, well, that was damn good, as expected. And And High on Pez said this song is so good. Do you guys check this jam out? What do you think? What do you think? Are the mixtapes the next big thing? Have we had this discussion before?
Last time I was on, Mondo was convincing me to listen to the mixtapes, and I did.
Oh, and what'd you think of them?
I think they're pretty damn good. I guess it's just mixtapes. I said the mixtapes. I sound like an old man.
Yeah, it's just mixtapes. Which implies that not each one of them is a mixtape, but rather that collectively a collection of mixtapes.
Mixy so, and the mixtapes.
So two of them might be one mixtape, or one of them might be three mixtapes, where if they were the mixtapes, each one would be a mixtape.
Getting technical. Yeah, I like this song. Mixtape-ception. I think I should get it so I can put it on my year-end list if I actually submit enough reviews. And then I'll look cool because I like a band that other people like for once. Mondo?
Nah, you still won't look cool.
That is true.
No. It was a great song. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the other song they put out. I think this is their second single. And Alex, I'm a fan of mixtapes. I think this might actually be one of their better songs. And I'm glad that people were into it, you know, because a lot of times you read the comment section and people just are very, very angry. So I'm glad that for the most part it was happy thoughts.
Honestly, I'm going to call right now. I'm not a huge fan of this band. I mean, I think they're all right. I think they're a nice band. But, I mean, it's not like my thing. But what I think they're very good at doing what they're trying to do. But I'm going to call it right now. I'm going to say mixtapes is going to be the next band that jumps to, like, a bigger, smaller label and then maybe even jumps to a major label and is what they call, like, a legacy act. Not a legacy act. An artistic act. Like, a band that big labels keep on the roster to show that they don't put out all classic music. The point being is I would not be surprised if mixtapes follows in the path of bands like Gaslight Anthem, Against Me, or those other kinds of bands.
So they're an affirmative action band.
What do you mean by that?
Like they're in the minority or whatever on this big label and people...
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's like the Flaming Lips, like, always lose money for Warner Brothers with every release they put out. But they keep them on the label so Warner Brothers can say, yeah, we might be putting out Kesha, but we also put out the Flaming Lips, you know? And so I can foresee that. Or like Tegan and Sarah. I don't think Tegan and Sarah makes the label money, although maybe they did on the last release. But I could see that happening in mixtapes. I mean, they're a talented...
But
oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think bands like that, on being on Warner Brothers, I think they're probably on a 360 deal, so the only reason they're kept around is because
they make back what they lose in record sales by giving up a portion of the concert guarantees and the merch sales.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, like a lot.
Go ahead, Armando.
Yeah, because that's how 360 deals normally work, is that, you know, that you give them a portion of everything you make outside of just the music. So, you know, obviously part of your guarantee at the end of the day goes to them, and so does your merch sales. I mean, granted, it's like not like every night all at once. Like they have a label rep shaking you down, but, you know, they kind of total it all up, and it's kind of like doing your taxes, like, within the label, so to speak. At least from what I've gathered as to how it's run.
Wow, it seems like a band like the Flaming Lips would be better off, if that were the case, to just self-release their stuff and make all their money on the road. I mean, their live act is so renowned that they would just make a crap load there and just, you know, screw the record sales. They just sell it themselves.
Yeah, I think Armando is right about bands like Tegan and Sarah and, like, when Gaslight Anthem and stuff, but I think you might be wrong about the Flaming Lips, because there's definitely an interview where Wayne Coyne of the Flaming Lips says that he loses money for the label, although in Armando's defenses, he tells things that aren't, like, you can't always trust what Wayne Coyne says, and that's by design.
Right. The Bob Dylan of our times.
No, well, I mean, you guys like the... I like the Flaming Lips, but I saw them live twice. Kind of boring live. I love
what?
The special effects. I love the special effects, but the music just has no juice live. Although I will say, the Flaming Lips' Heady Friends record is phenomenal. I love that record.
Oh, is that the one with all the collaborations?
Yeah, it's got Biz Markie on, it's got Kesha, it's got some other people too. It's cool.
Yeah, a lot of wacky matchups.
Armando, have you seen Flaming Lips live?
I saw him for a couple songs. I think I left once the bubble guy came out.
You mean Wayne Coyne? He's the bubble guy.
Yeah. I was intoxicated when I saw them, so who, the bubble guy could have been me. I wouldn't have known.
Well, fair enough. Well, Armando, I think this is going to be right up your alley. The RX Bandits have announced a summer tour for Resignation, which is their new album. They're going to be touring from July all the way through all of July through August, and they are going to be hitting Armando's neck of the woods. Armando, are you excited for this?
Yeah, I'm actually really excited. I grew up, being into the RX Bandits, but more so, they're actually playing a venue that's like, I think, 20 miles from my house, and they're playing my most favorite RX Bandits record. So, I mean, this is like a win-win-win. Other than that, like, I think it's kind of funny that they retired from touring, and then, like, a year or two ago, maybe three max, and it's like, oh, guess what, we're touring again.
I'm hoping Chumbawamba does that. They're like, oh, we broke up for, like, 3 months, but now we're back.
We're just going to talk about all the same topics every time I get on the podcast, aren't we?
I wanted to talk about Chumbawamba last time.
Yeah, it was the Margaret Thatcher week.
And the Melvins.
So, what's your guys' favorite Melvins record? We could talk about this forever.
I wouldn't have much to say.
All of them.
Greg, are you going to go see the RX Bandits? Are you going to skank it up?
Are they coming anywhere near me? They are coming to Chicago. It's like 4.5 hours from me.
Greg, where do you live?
Bloomington, Indiana.
I don't even know where that is, to tell you the truth.
It's south. It's like an hour south of Indianapolis.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So RX Bandits. Yeah, Resignation, actually, I didn't get into them until then. I got the record on a recommendation by Scott Heisel, and then listened to it for a while and then kind of forgot about it and stuck it on the shelf. It honestly didn't stick with me. I remember liking it, but I think I was at the tail end of the height of my ska punk, whatever, phase, and just kind of caught me at the wrong time, or else I think I probably could have been really into them.
As you said, Punk News listeners know, Scott Heisel's former reviews editor for Punk News, and now he's like the music editor for Alternative Press.
He's the one that hired me. I went to college with him.
Oh, really?
Yep, we went to undergrad.
Do you have any secretive Scott Heisel stories?
Oh, man, there are some pictures on Facebook of the two of us that are just hilarious. Me with, like, speaking of Lagwagon, I guess that was off air. Me with, like, some silly Lagwagon shirt and, like, pink hair, and Heisel making some goofy expression and, like, I don't know, like, because he was a music ed major as well as I was. Wait, was he a music head? I don't know. He was a choir guy. So we hung out a lot in the music building and went to, like, the conferences, music ed conferences and stuff like that.
You guys were the coolest dudes in college.
We were.
Let me tell you.
We were. No. Scott actually won. Our school was called Augustana, Augie for short. And he won Augie Idol his junior, senior year. He busted ass with his some sweet vocal stylings.
Is he a good singer?
Oh, yeah. Good drummer, too. He drummed in jazz combos and stuff.
I had no idea.
Yeah, the more you know. Bring.
Well, speaking of jazz combos, we're about to go to break. But before we do that, I'm going to give a quick shout-out to Pooza Fest, which will be the week during you hear this podcast. Pooza Fest is May 17, 18, and 19 in Montreal, California. We're sponsors of it, which basically means our name is on it. And they've got tons of bands at Pooza Fest, including, let me take a quick look to tell you who's going to be there. Just a quick look. A Wilhelm Scream, Arliss Nancy, Candy Hearts, Dead to Me, a lot of real big org core bands and some local bands too. So that's May 17, 18, and 19 in Montreal, California, Pooza Fest. All right, fellas, now that we talked about some...
That's next weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Are either of you guys going?
No, I'm not going.
I'm not going. I ain't got the monies. Right. I want to go.
Yeah, I'm doing too much traveling this summer as it is.
I'm actually probably going to go to Maryland Death Fest, which I think is right then. Because you know who's playing at Maryland Death Fest?
The Melvins?
Yeah.
It's not the Melvins Light?
No, it's Melvins Proper, which is the four-piece Melvin as opposed to the three-piece Melvins Light. And Sleep's going to be there. Integrity's going to be there. I think Misery might be there. A lot of cool bands. But speaking of cool bands, what do you guys want to hear from the Stooges next? Do you guys want to hear something off Raw Power? You guys want to hear something off the Stooges? Or you guys want to hear something off Funhouse?
What about the orchestra thing? Is that off the table?
No, that's on the table. I think that's Dirt. So Dirt is on Funhouse. So, once again, this is off the Tribute to Ron Ashton DVD, which really is a cool DVD. And this is the Stooges and an orchestra doing Dirt.
Orchestra! Dirt! We'll be right back.
hurt. And I don't care. Ooh, I've been hurt. I'm burning inside, and I'm just a dreaming. This life, so do you feel it? Say, do you feel it when you touch me? Or do you feel it when you cut me? That it's a fire! That it's a fire!
Podcast for our second section, and we're going to open up with some sad news. I gotta say, it seems like a lot of people have been dying lately. It's a real bummer. I guess it's because a lot of my favorite artists are getting older, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, so we're going to see more and more of these guys passing away. Jeff Hanneman of Slayer just passed away due to liver failure, and it seems like from available reports, it was a result of a spider bite he got, which I think was in South America, which actually caused him to have a flesh-eating virus on his left. I think it was his left. Maybe it was his right arm. But he had a flesh-eating virus. It was called something like necrocytic paralysis or something. His arm was literally being eaten by a virus. So that was about 2 years ago, but he passed away at 49 years old. due to liver failure. Of course, as people know, he was one of two main guitarists in Slayer, and actually, he wrote a lot of the classic Slayer jams. I would say he wrote the majority of the classic Slayer jams. Are you guys Slayer fans, or are you bummed out by the death of Jeff Hanneman?
I'm bummed out. I mean, granted, I'm not the hugest Slayer fan, but I mean, I got into them in middle school and high school, and I listened to select jams. So it's a bummer to know that someone who kind of influenced my taste in music so early on has passed away.
Yeah, I'm not a Slayer fan. I mean, I've never been much of a metalhead in the slightest. So. I don't really know much at all. Most I know about them is that from Adam and his package saying that he thought they were Nazis. So that definitely made me not want to listen to them, whether it's true or not. I probably shouldn't take that as a big, truthful whatever. But it was a pretty metal way to go, I must say. Pretty kind of badass way to go out, but I mean, definitely sucks.
I'm pretty bummed out. Slayer is one of my all-time favorite heavy metal bands, and I love the first five Slayer records. They're completely classic all the way through, and really, I think Hanneman was the best guy playing instruments in the band, so it's a real bum that he's passing away. It seems that Kerry King is probably going to continue the band with Adam, but frankly, he just won't be Slayer without Hanneman. I've seen Slayer five times. I even saw them on like the Forever in Blood tour or whatever, where they played as the encore the entirety of Rain in Blood, and it was a phenomenal show. I actually saw it was an ice hockey rink in Pittsburgh, which is crazy. So it's a real bummer. MCA passed away just about a year ago, so, which is a real shame. Hanneman passed away just last week. So that's a real shame. So
Chris Kelly from Criss Cross.
I think it's sad when anybody passes away, you know? Why did the guy from Criss Cross die? Or they don't know?
I don't think... I think the autopsy was supposed to be... I don't know. I think it was like last Thursday, but I don't remember hearing any follow-ups about it.
Did you guys ride the Criss Cross... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Armando.
I think he's dead. Like, that's been confirmed.
Yeah. Chris Kelly? Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah,
for some reason I thought it sounded like you guys were unsure.
No, he's dead.
Why? Like, why did he? What did he die of? We don't know. That's what we're wondering.
They're pretty sure he's dead.
Hold on, let me check. To the news desk.
Did you guys rock the Criss Cross back in the day? That was like '93, I would think.
I definitely listened to it. I never did the backwards clothes, thank God.
Did you miss
the bus? Pictures of me. I missed the bus on the backwards clothing.
How about you, Armand? Did you ever jump to crisscross? Crisscross gonna make you.
Yeah, jump. No, I did the whole backwards clothes thing, but I hated it because it made ping hard.
It's very uncomfortable. I mean, even like wearing a shirt, like it's higher up in the back on the neck hole. You can't, it like chokes you.
But I mean, like when you have to use the restroom, you have to, pull your
I'm agreeing with
weird.
You.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't make special, crisscross brand jeans have a fly in the back.
A fly in the front and the back?
They actually kind of.
Yes. Just cut a little hole to. Stick your dick through.
All right, well, moving on to other departures. After the loss of several drummers, Andrew Seward has left Against Me. He was their bassist, and here's what he said. He said, "I've left Against Me. No drama here. I've reached a point in my life where I need to focus on other things. Respect to Laura and James, the last 10 years ruled Andrew." And here's what Laura James Gray said. And this was a bit surprising. She said, "It's heartbreaking to know that Andrew won't be standing next to me on the stage next time I stand upon one. I realize at this point there's a possibility that it may look pretty ridiculous to carry on playing under the name Against Me. If I did feel like I had something that really needed to say with the album we've been working on for the past year, then I'd humbly hang the hat and move on." So, I mean, do you guys think this is the end of Against Me? What's happening? My whole world is falling apart.
Sarcasm detected. Go ahead.
I don't think that this is the end. Maybe it's near the end. If anything, they'll put out this record. They'll hit up all the major markets. They'll do Australia, Europe, maybe parts of Asia, and then like North America and random South America stuff, and call it a day. So maybe they'll be done in the next year or two. But I don't think they're done quite yet. Like Laura's made it a point that she wants to get this record out, because I feel, just, you know, based off the name that's been solicited, is that it's a big part of who she's become in the past year or so. So she's not going to let that, you know, slip away, you know, under and let it not happen. So I don't think they're done yet. And actually, while we're on the topic, we should talk about something that just happened a little earlier today. But first, I want to hear your guys' thoughts.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. This record's definitely going to come out. And like I was saying, like, he's left the band, but I'm sure the bass parts are long since tracked. I mean, I don't know what, you know.
I don't think so, but go ahead.
No? I mean, they've been talking about this record forever, and I don't know what the holdup is, but, I mean, drums go first, bass goes second. I'm guessing what's taking so long is just vocals, guitar overdubs, all that little extra production shit, mixing, yada, yada.
Well, you know what I think it is? Is I think, because it seemed like they were pretty much being close to done, but then Weinberg left the band. So I feel like they wanted to retract the drums because they didn't want to have to pay him royalties for if he wasn't going to be in the band anymore.
Yeah, that's possible. So who the hell's on the record? They haven't said. Who was replacement? Adam Willard.
Yeah, I think he did the drumming for it, but it's to like an official like permanent replacement. I don't think they have one yet.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I'm still guessing the drums and bass are probably done. I mean, that stuff, you kick out the drums even on a big release like that in like a week. You know, even if they did them over, I think the bass probably done. Bass is quick.
I don't think the album's close.
Yeah, bass is done. I did.
Oh, go ahead, Armando.
I just think they just wanted to record the drums of somebody else is all.
But I doubt they'd re-record. Hold up. I doubt they re-record his bass parts. I mean, I think like, you know, that's his final whatever legacy to Against Me. They'd leave his bass parts.
Oh,
in
yeah,
there for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying about the bass. I'm talking about the drums.
Right.
Honestly, fellas, I don't even think his album is recorded at all. I don't even think it's really demoed. I think the band is still trying to figure out what they want to do with it, because I think Laura Jane Grace really wants to make it a huge grand statement. You know, like some albums are just albums and some albums are like big statements. Like London Calling was a big statement. Marvin Gaye's Hear My Dear is like a big statement. That kind of a record. I think that's what they're trying to do. And so I think they're bouncing ideas back and forth still until they arrive at what they want. And honestly, I think we're only maybe one third of the way towards the actual record being completed.
Well, I people were saying that demos had leaked a little while ago, so I don't know about that, JG.
True that, but I'll tell you, just on a completely unrelated note, one of my favorite bands, the World Inferno Friendship Society, a whole bunch of their demos leaked once, and then the album came out, and it was completely different. Like, not like one demo was on the actual album. So, you know, sometimes bands scrap stuff entirely.
Maybe that's the case.
I'm saying that is the case. That's what I'm saying, and I don't know. But I'm saying there might be demos, and they might have recorded songs, but I think the album isn't anywhere near as close as to what the band envisions it as they want it to be. But Armando, you had something else you wanted to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Well, for those of you who, you know, like who might have checked Twitter, I guess by the time this airs, it'll have been a huge meme and, you know, tons of likes on the internet and stuff. But so it turns out that Laura Jane Grace finally got the petition started by our John and by Brian.
Bam.
And on top of that,
bam!
Nice.
And not only that, but apparently she had linked up with Mikey Erg and they put together a 4-song demo.
Bam.
So whether or not that's Against Me related or a brand new band or something on the side entirely for like a solo record, the point is they met, they hung out, they made music, and who knows, we'll see something with that soon.
Wow.
In case the Punk News listeners don't know, about 2 or 3 months ago, we officially endorsed Mikey Erg as the drummer for Against Me, and we started a petition, and we got 1,000 signatures of people that wanted Mikey Erg Against Me. I put it all together, and I mailed it to Against Me, saying, here's the petition, Against Me, make Mikey Erg your drummer, please. And so it seemed that they recorded a demo. I don't know if it was just for fun or what, but I gotta say, punknews.org, we make stuff happen. I mean, for really real, are we the Illuminati of punk rock or what, fellas?
No, you guys, you're the John Gentiluminati.
You know, honestly, though, like if this actually gets released, even as like a band camp or whatever, how cool would that be? That like the fans like really wanted to see a collaboration, so the two artists were like cool enough to say, "Let's just do it for fun." Like even if this isn't like a permanent thing, even if it's just like a 4-song demo, that's all it is. How cool is it of the fans, and also how cool of it is the artist for being so, I guess, open minded to say, "Yeah, let's just do it for fun." I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah, it's pretty rad.
It is pretty rad.
So, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be awesome. And I mean, honestly, even if Mikey Erg never plays with Against Me ever again, I'm going to say this was a victory. That's because, I mean, honestly, it wasn't our job to get him in the band. It was really just our job to give him a tryout. And so they did demos. I think that's basically what we did. I think we got him to the tryout stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was mission accomplished.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to mark that in the V column.
We need to get someone on Punk News down to Capitol Hill and make some shit happen down there.
Let me tell you this. What bands do you guys think we should boss around next? Like, who should we mash up? How about Slayer? Slayer needs a guitarist. Who should we force into Slayer?
Oh, jeez.
It's too early for Slayer, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. True.
What we should do is we should start a petition to have Five Iron Frenzy convert to Catholicism.
What are they? What branch of Protestants are they? I have no idea.
I don't know. Southern.
Baptist. White Baptist.
I don't know. You're saying we should start petitions to make people change their religion to see our wins?
Yeah. What you should do, you should have under oath change to Orthodox Jewish, and then they can be the first Jewish hardcore band.
No, I think we should what was Zoroastrian? I think we should force some bands to become like Zoroastrians, like something cool.
And Mondo, haven't you heard of Dreidel of Filth?
No, I haven't.
That's a real band, or at least they used to exist. I don't even know if they were really, you know, black metal or metal or even hardcore. They might have been a silly band. I don't even remember, but that name is incredible. They were Jewish, I know that. Can't remember what kind of music they played. Dreidel of Filth.
We'll always have Modest Yahoo. We'll always have him.
Oh, man.
All right, and speaking of things we're always going to have, this story was quite divisive among the punk rock community. Quite divisive. Or divisive? That's the word, right? Divisive?
Divisive? Divisive? I don't know.
Anyways, Black Flag Black Flag released their very first song in 27 years. It's off their upcoming album. It's supposed to be out sometime this summer, I think June. It features Greg Gill on guitar, Ron Reyes, Black Flag's second vocalist on vocals, and one guy from Screeching Weasel on bass, and some drummer guy that I never heard of. And so the song is called Down in the Dirt. I rated it. I gave it a 7 out of 10. I thought it was good, not great. What did you guys think of this new jam? And when the song was released, Black Flag accompanied the song with sort of a nasty note. Here's what they said. They said, Black Flag is not to be confused with the fake flag band currently covering the songs of Black Flag in an embarrassingly weak mail-in fashion. So what did you guys think of this jam? And what did you guys think of that nasty comment?
I'll go first because I actually wrote the story on the song because I guess I was the first person in the crew to discover it. I was a humble brag, but to be honest, it was disappointing. I'll give Jin credit though that like the guitar riff throughout the whole song is actually really good. I was impressed with that, but the lyrics were kind of subpar, and then I felt like Ron Reyes did a good job singing, but I felt like he was lacking a little bit of energy. Like, I felt like he could have gone in a little bit harder. You know, so overall, it was just lackluster. It's not a horrible song, but considering it's a Black Flag song, I feel like that kind of brings it down more. Like, if it was, like, an up-and-coming band or just, like, a new band, maybe give it, like, a 7 or an 8, you know. But, like, considering this is Black Flag, I give it, like, a 5 or a 6, you know. And as for their comments, I feel it's kind of rude. But, I mean, that's kind of how Jin seems to be, from what all I can hear from everyone else involved with Black Flag that's willing to talk. But even if you're going to insult Flag, don't lie about it, because to say that they're phoning it in is clearly not true, because I saw live videos that made them look impressive. Like I'm already, like, juiced on them, and then I'm even more hyped for them than I would be for Black Flag, to tell you the truth. You know, who I haven't seen anything in, because they haven't played shows together. But it's like, dude, you know, if you're going to trash talk Flag, that's fine. But don't trash talk them on things that aren't true, you know?
I think they need to have a dueling banjos type thing, where they get at a venue where they can both be set up on stage, or two stages facing each other, and then play the same song back and forth and have the crowd decide.
Yeah, honestly, I think one band probably doesn't want to get in that situation, and they know damn why. You know, I really didn't want to pick favorites. I wanted to see this, like, you know, we've got Flag on one side with Keith Morris and Chuck Dukowski and Dez Kadena and Bill Stevenson and Steven Egerton, which is awesome. And on the other side, we've got Ron Riez and Greg Ginn. You know, I mean, it's cool. I was happy with both of them, and everybody was keeping it classy. Humble brag, I interviewed all the members of Flag, and they were all really cool. They're like, you know, they can do whatever they want. We're not going to talk trash on them. And even Chuck Dukowski, who's probably got the biggest beef with Greg Ginn out of anybody in the world, he even took a gentleman's no comment, you know? And then even Ron Reyes, it's Reyes, correct? Ron Reyes.
Yeah, it's like it would be. It's Reyes.
Yeah, I interviewed Ron Reyes, and he was cool. He was like, I don't want to get involved in the Flag versus Black Flag thing. I love all those guys and I wish them the best. So everybody was keeping it classy. Then out of the blue, Black Flag has this comment that they didn't even, like, say who said it. I don't think it was Ron Reyes. Well, we all know who we think said it, you know, so we don't need to say it out loud. And I think it's just not classy. And honestly, they're forcing me to pick who my favorite is, and I think they don't want me to do that, to tell you the truth. And honestly, I think they're picking a fight with a band that kind of has more of a live presence. But I don't know, because Flag hasn't played live yet. I mean, Black Flag hasn't played live yet, and I haven't seen Flag play live, but the live video I saw was phenomenal. So anyways, I'm going to see them both live on stage, and I'm saying that's where to settle the argument, not, you know, on some Twitter fight like a bunch of, you know, middle schoolers.
Yeah, it was completely unprovoked. It is pretty juvenile for them to say that. So I think after you see them both live, you should do a dual review of the two shows.
I actually am going to tell you the truth, because the shows are, like, real close to each other. So,
nice.
So do you guys think this comment was a tactical strike, or was just out of pure anger or animosity? What do you think? Black Flag was like, we'll say this to put a doubt in people's mind about Flag, or to take attention off other things? Or do you think Black Flag was just angry and they were just thrashing outwards?
I think it was more so angry than a tactical move. Because really, when you read a lot of the comments, a lot of them are pretty negative, saying that they support Flag, or at the very least, if they don't support Flag, they think that, you know, the new song from Black Flag isn't up to snuff. So, I mean, you're not really going to win those people over no matter what, because people on the internet are just angry and don't care.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say if they have any sort of marketing team or whatever, but if they did, they wouldn't allow them to put out some bullshit like that. So it probably was just more than being angry about, oh, they thought of this idea at the same time that we did, but they're, you know, out there winning people over and we are just putting out a song.
Yeah, well, I would hope neither Flag nor Black Flag has a, quote, marketing team, but you never know. I do think it's a testament to the song itself that it was so divisive. Some people were like, this song is absolutely phenomenal, and some people were like, this song sucks, you know? And I gotta say, I thought that quote was pretty lame, but you gotta give Greg Ginn some deference, because people are like, nowadays, people are like, my war is one of the greatest albums of all time. back in the day, people were not loving My War at all. People were hating on that album like crazy. So, and honestly, I didn't think Down in the Dirt was that different than like later day Black Flag songs. Every once in a while, you get somebody says, "Oh, I think Loose Nut or In My Head are the best Black Flag albums," just because they're trying to be contrarian or whatever. And I think this song sounds a lot like the songs off that album. So, I think it's good, not great. I think that the Black Flag album, the new Black Flag album, has some real possibility of being good, but they're really gonna have to up the juice or make the songs a little bit more dynamic than this song, although I enjoyed the intonation of this song.
It was a little repetitive, though, yeah.
It was a little repetitive, but, I mean, kind of, a lot of, like, the later-day Black Flag songs, like on Loose Nut and In My Head, they kind of just do that. They start up with a riff and just keep pounding the riff out, and, like, you know, Rollins gets, like, more berserk until the end. And
right.
I wonder if this song, like, isn't even really a Black Flag song. I wonder if it's just, like, one of Greg Ginn's, like, solo projects, and they just had Ron Reyes sing over it to make it a Black Flag song, you know? So, but I enjoyed it. And so I'm going to keep, as they say, cautiously optimistic for the Black Flag album. And lastly, but not leastly, the Fest 12, which is going to occur on October 29 and 30. No, I'm sorry. October 31st through November 3rd. No, I'm sorry. October 29th through November 3rd in Gainesville, Florida, and Ybor City, Florida. They have announced two pretty big acts. The biggest act they probably announced was Dillinger Ford, and the second biggest act was Sam I Am, who unfortunately is not Samhain with Glenn Danzig, but rather a bunch of guys in sweaters that like to think about stuff. And so, are you guys going to Fest? Are you guys excited to see Dillinger Ford, Sam I Am? And, yeah, I mean, are you guys excited for this?
I might go to Fest. It just depends on if I can get like a new job soon, which I feel like I might because I just dropped off a resume somewhere earlier today and followed up on two jobs earlier today, and they both seemed really in you know into me as a person. So who knows? I might have a new place of employment in the next week or two. We'll see.
Did you apply at the Starbucks that you're at right now?
I did actually. They're thinking of making me manager.
Man. You must be good.
But I am good. But no, so if I get like a new job before the month is through, then I'll definitely be going to Fest. But if not, then I won't be more than likely because I feel like I wouldn't be able to save enough and be able to pay my bills comfortably if I get a job later than that, unless it just paid really well. But who knows? But I'm trying to give myself more time than less. So if I do, I'm stoked. It'd be cool to see Dillinger 4. There's a lot of other bands I want to see. There are bands I would like to see announced that I don't think we will see announced, but who knows? I could be proven wrong by Tony.
I have never been to Fest, though I probably should go just for the experience, even though I'd probably only be stoked on maybe three bands on that whole damn list. I'd probably end up liking a whole lot of them that I'm not aware of.
Let me guess. The three bands that you want to see are Greenland Is Melting. The second band you want to see is Mockingbird, Wish Me Luck. And the third band is Queen Beef.
Never heard of any of them. Did you just pick the longest, weirdest names?
Queen Beef is the band, man. Let me tell you, Queen Beef is great.
I'd probably go to see just like little bands where I know the guys, like Luther. Those guys crashed at our house when they came through here a little while ago. You Blew It. I've reviewed and met those guys, and who else? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they're. I mean, aren't Mixtapes playing? I'd probably go see them.
Yeah, Mixtapes are playing.
I'm actually going to see Mixtapes in like 2 weeks at the Skate and Surf Fest, and I think we're going to interview them, so that'll be fun too.
Cool.
Word. All right, fellas. Well, unless anybody's got anything else to talk about, I guess we'll wrap this bad boy on up. What do you think?
Yeah.
Right. I got something I want to say. This is going back to the RX Bandits conversation. For the record, at some point RX Bandits ceased to be ska, and they actually weren't ska anymore as of that album. The Resignation. It was more prog right. Rock. So
rock,
I don't
rock
know.
With horns.
Like
King
Crimson.
Oh yeah, a little bit.
Like
yeah.
Did you ever listen to my old band, Mondo? Did you go listen to that? I sent you the link. Did you listen? You didn't.
Yeah,
did
I did. I did. I even commented on it saying it
kind
of sounds like later. Yeah, go check back. I said it sounds like later Slow Gherkin with a little bit of the Hippos.
Okay. I did not see that. That's great.
I mean, I listened to it, and I thought it was more like Mayhem mixed with Magruder Grind with some older Angel Corpse, to tell you the truth.
little anal cunt.
There was a hint of Charles Bronson in there.
Honestly, Charles Bronson has got like the funniest name song titles in the entire world.
They do.
So Armando, what constitutes somebody falling out from ska? How are you no longer a ska band? What do you have to do to no longer be a ska band?
Not play ska music anymore.
So no longer pick it up, just let it drop?
Yeah. Basically, that's actually it in a nutshell.
Fair enough. And to
Oh,
go ahead, Armando.
I was going to say that, or you fire horns, or you just say you're not ska.
Ooh, firing horns. One of my favorite bands ever fired their horns a couple years ago, and they've never been the same. Well, are you familiar with Cougars? I used to hype them a lot around the org. They were a Chicago band. Huh?
That's a band that sounds kind of like Marduk mixed with Bolt Thrower, right?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Real kind of rough-voiced, real dark. I mean, it was always kind of like dark ska music. A lot of minor keys and stuff like that. Then they got rid of the upstrokes but kept the horns when they changed their name from Hot Stove Jimmy to Cougars, and a couple of member changes. And then they fired their horns for some reason after like two really great albums, and now they're just, you know, a rock band. I don't know. That was what made them special, I thought.
Word. Well, speaking of bands that are not a ska band, to close up tonight's podcast, we're going to play one final track from the tribute to Ron Ashton. And this is quite a moving song, and it's one of the most moving songs I've heard all year. This is Iggy Pop and James Williamson doing a acoustic tribute to Ron Ashton, and the song is called Ron's Tune. Check it out.
All right, maestro. This is a requiem for a heavyweight, though it is a little late. I got no address to send, but the message says you are my friend in the end. Ambitions and jealousies tear a person down. Only time you find some peace is when you're in the ground. So this is your requiem, and though it is for thee, it'll do the job for me. Cause I gotta find some peace somewhere in my sleep where we do not need police. Some people can't fight evil. That's what friends are for. Some people can't fight evil. So this is the reason why you never seem to see, you never get to say goodbye. So, cause you were my friend, I'll always always think of you again. I'll always think of you again.
Up this edition of the Punk News Podcast, the greatest, the best, the fiercest, the most widespread, the most universally accepted punk rock related podcast on the internet today. Thanks for listening. As always, the opinions expressed on the Punk News Podcast are the opinions and comments of those expressing them exclusively and do not in any way reflect the opinions or comments of Punk News. .org. We want to give a huge thank out to Iggy Pop and the Stooges for letting them play so much from their DVD. I gotta say, it is really cool DVD. It's called Tribute to Ron Ashton, out on MVD Visual, and it's pretty neat. It's got Stooges, Iggy Pop, Henry Rollins, Tennis Deck, and some other cool people too. I recommend it. We want to say thanks to Scotty, Death of False Hope Records, for the theme music. And other than that, also, if you want to reach us, you can reach us at podcast@punknews.org. That's podcast@punknews.org. And other than that, we will see you next week, you sweet thing.